We're here. We can do the news. Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John, joined by Tyler and Mitch. Today on the show, Kelis Robinette, our friend from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas City Star, is going to be on at 425. Get you ready for some K-State hoops tonight. Who's excited for K-State and TCU in Fort Worth? Show of hands. At 510, 510, we'll play you the audio of what the players had to say about skipping out of the media on Saturday and how all that was handled. By then, we go around college basketball at 525. As always, you can tweet your questions or comments to the game KMAN. You can also give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. We're going to talk here in the open a little bit about Tyler being angry if K-State wins the game tonight. He'll explain his theory on that. But we got a lead with something that I literally just discovered on Twitter. I know Bruce Feldman had tweeted it about 10 minutes before I saw it 5 minutes ago.
You just discovered.
Oh. Okay, whatever. As a show, we discovered this report. It comes...
I didn't discover anything.
That narrows it down.
Tyler saw a tweet from Bruce Feldman, who we both follow. Congratulations.
Hey, I'm not taking anything today. I'm in a mood.
Well, this is not a matter of taking. Could we get off to a decent start to the show, or could we just lose all the listeners here before we go to bicker about things that don't matter? This is a story about John Curry from the guy that was the first that I saw yesterday to break John Curry to Tennessee, Jimmy Hyams, H-Y-A-M-S. I apologize to him if I'm mispronouncing his name, but he has dropped a story with a bunch of information about John Curry and things from the Tennessee side. But the biggest thing that is going to draw a lot of headlines here, Philip Fulmer, the former football coach at Tennessee, is one of the guys who was a candidate for the athletic director job at Tennessee. And the big headline from this story is one reason Fulmer pushed for the AD job is that he didn't want John Curry to get it. So that's a pretty big bombshell of information there. And full context here, there is some bad blood in the past. When John Curry was still at Tennessee in 2008, Curry was, according to this, instrumental in having Fulmer fired in 2008. And because of that, Curry and Fulmer have a strained relationship. This report also says that John Curry had reached out to Philip Fulmer with a phone message, but Fulmer hadn't yet responded. So things still seem rocky on Rocky Top between those two. There's also a note here that many coaches had strained relationships with John Curry when he was there the first time around at Tennessee. So basically there's more smoke to having relationships with the coaches, and that's something we heard a lot about K-State here. Bill Snyder, Frank Martin, everybody on down the line. There's smoke now from the other side of Tennessee coming out about that, to the point that Philip Fulmer wanted to block John Curry essentially from being the athletic director there. Now, I do think it's a very important bit of information that Philip Fulmer, at least his perception or whatever, is that John Curry was instrumental in having him fired in 2008. Football coaches are prideful dudes. They're guys that put a lot into what they do. And I think a lot of times because of their pride and loyalty, they're going to hold grudges in some situation like that. So I almost took more out of just seeing another bit of information from a different side and a different stop for John Curry about him having poor relationships with the coaches there. I almost take more from that than I do what most people will see as the big headline from this, which is Philip Fulmer was trying to get the AD job to keep John Curry from being the AD.
Well, all of it, I think, is just more ammo to the idea that it's a very strange fit for John Curry at Tennessee, despite the fact that he has so much history there. I mean, his familiarity with the University of Tennessee, notwithstanding, it's a job that... it's a job that you need good relationships with your coaches. It's a job that you do not need to go out and raise money, do the fundraising to the same extent that he had to do at K-State. You know, I maintain that John Curry can be a solid athletic director, but it's in different ways than what he's going to be asked to do at Tennessee, and that's why I feel like, and I'm just totally coming up with these spots off the top of my head, but like a Wake Forest or something like that. I mean, I can see him going into a situation like that, finding the donors to give money, building up some solid facilities, turning them into a solid athletic program, football and basketball. I just don't see it in the SEC.
Well, here is the direct quote. I found what the article specifically said because, again, I didn't even have time to go through and highlight all this stuff before we hopped on air because I just saw it. But here is the other part that I was referencing there. It says, Curry had a tenuous relationship with some UT coaches and boosters when he was an assistant athletic director at Tennessee. Here's another part that I had not even seen right before this as I'm literally reacting to this on the air. This is a quote from the article from Jimmy Hyams. Curry has been described as arrogant, cocky, and condescending, but age and maturity may have changed things. He was in his late 20s when he started at UT and was in his late 30s when he left. He's now in his mid-40s. So this is fairly scathing. Tennessee fans, which I told you yesterday, my perception just from what I saw on Twitter and from doing a radio interview in Nashville and the way the questions were pretty pointed that they were asking to me, I don't think they were very happy. This is only going to intensify those feelings on the other side. I mean, I suppose it doesn't really matter that much to us here back in Manhattan because John Curry's made his decision, Tennessee's made his decision, K-State moves on. But I guess you do look at this in retrospect and say, a lot of times you see in coaching hires, I would think in athletic director hires here too, you go from one extreme to the other. You go from one type of guy to the next type of guy. College football, a lot of times you have an offensive head coach. If he fails, you're likely to go get a defensive guy the next time because that's probably been where you're weak. John Curry was strong with fundraising, getting things in order financially. Clearly, the relationship aspect of things was not where he excelled. He was what K-State needed in 2008 when they had the opposite before him. They hire financial guy. Now John Curry's going, and strained relationships were becoming more and more apparent. It was seeping out at the end of his time here at K-State. Now, with big personnel decisions facing K-State, we know that that's going to be an important factor in what you're looking for in the next athletic director. This perhaps just emphasizes even more somebody that's going to have good relationships, be in touch with the fan base, and be able to nail down all those things that I think we traditionally associate with an athletic director perhaps more than just the financial side.
Question for you before we move over to basketball with all this. I know that K-State fans like to pay pretty close attention to what Frank Martin's doing in South Carolina, what Brad Underwood's doing at Oklahoma State, Brent Venables at Clemson, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm just talking about K-State guys being in other places. How closely do you think K-State fans will be watching what happens with Tennessee with John Curry as athletic director? Do you think K-State fans will care about monitoring that?
Well, it's interesting. Are you asking me or are you asking—
I'm asking you. I really don't know.
I'm sorry. Are you asking, will I pay attention to that? Would I pay attention to that? Or do I think that fans will generally care?
A little bit of both.
I really don't, actually. I don't think this turns into— and here's why. It's actually an interesting point that you bring up. You have seen, I think, some people still keep track a decent amount of Frank Martin, for instance, going to South Carolina because so many people were really attached to him. Cult of Frank. T-shirt's coming, by the way. Not even kidding. Cult of Frank. People loved Frank Martin.
You do not have that money sitting around.
So, you know, it cost me like $20 a shirt, man. I would say the business name. There's a place in town you can go get that done. It's pretty easy. I think because of that, you saw people still follow and pay a little bit of attention. I know that I'm supposed to be, along with Cole Manbeck, like the co-ringleaders of the Cult of Frank. I've seen one game of theirs this year. It was, Tennessee, actually, the other day, because I just happened to be sitting on the couch when it came on. I mean, I pay attention enough to see just what his results are every now and then and see how they're doing. I would not pay that much attention to what's happening with the situation at Tennessee. It's tougher to monitor, too, when it's an athletic director versus just a coach where you can go check ESPN's South Carolina basketball page and see what their record is. I think because of both of those factors, one, he doesn't have like a real big-time groundswell of people that are really connected, really tied, and beat up that he's leaving right now. So I don't think because of that people will care that much to go out of their way to watch. And then, two, it's just simply harder to gauge how an athletic director is doing because it's not measured quite the same way as a coach, that
okay.
is.
Fair.
I mean, are you—
For me personally, it's not as interesting. I just want to see what K-State fans' reaction would be if either A, he goes to Tennessee and totally turns everything around and he does the best job that he's ever done in his career, or B, if things completely tanked. If things were really, really good or really, really bad, I would want to see if K-State fans reacted positively or negatively to both of those situations.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, if Tennessee all of a sudden— I would say one thing, and I know we're almost glossing over the basketball thing here, but I think this is an interesting topic you brought up. There are some individual bits of the Tennessee job that he has to take over here that do interest me. One is he's got a football coach in Butch Jones who has been relatively successful, but not successful to the expectation level of Tennessee. He's also recruited very well. We know what the perception is about recruiting in the SEC. You probably got to get your hands a little bit dirty. That's not something that John Curry's very keen on from what we know about him here. With a football coach who's on the brink and trying to do whatever he can to get over the hump, recruiting in the SEC and trying to do whatever he's got to do to win in the SEC with John Curry coming in as athletic director, yeah, I mean, that's interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting enough for me to go out and seek that information, but if I see an article about something that's happening there, this Jimmy Hyams guy, I'll follow him on Twitter,
right. and
I guess see what happens. If I see something, I'd probably click it and read it.
That's the equivalent of going and looking at Tennessee's record on their ESPN page when you're following an AD,
okay,
is looking for a story about John Curry and how things are going there and deciding I want to read it.
I guess what I'm saying is I'll follow that guy in particular because he's been the one that seems to be out in front reporting all this stuff. I'll follow him. If I do see a story come across, I would click on it. I don't think I'd go seek out his Twitter handle, you know, all the time to try and figure out what exactly is going on there. But if you want to consider that, me being interested in it or whatever, then hey, that's fine. It just depends on what, I guess, your definition of that is. The other thing is, this will stay top of mind right now. I'll be thinking about it more right now, especially because basketball season is winding down here. So you're going to be in the dead period of major college athletics. I think in that time period, you're going to be more interested. Once things get going with football next year, basketball next year, I think that's when it'll go to the back burner much more. Okay. Things are still fresh in everyone's mind right now. You want to tell the world before we talk to Kellis about why you're going to be mad if K-State beats TCU tonight?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, I prefer K-State to win the game, but that doesn't mean there wouldn't be some negative emotions in there too, because I feel like for a team in K-State's position, a team that's had its back against the wall not just over the last week or so, not just for 2 weeks, but like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. If you're going to be like, let's say Bruce Weber tonight, he finds a way to push his team's buttons and get them motivated and get them want to win this game, and they win this game, why did it take until March 1st for that to occur instead of before you played? Iowa State at home, Oklahoma State at home, TCU at home, Oklahoma on the road. It did not have to be this difficult. That's basically the way that I look at it. So I would be very frustrated from that standpoint.
Well, I would just look at it and say the team's been consistently inconsistent, and we can sit here and talk all we want about close games, how close they were at points. You lose enough close games throughout the course of a season. The bottom line is you're just not quite good enough. Things are going to even out over time. If you're a good enough team, they haven't, for whatever the reason is. They're just going to be like this. They're going to win some of those games that you might not expect them to win, a la at Baylor. Then they're going to lose four straight home games that were all very winnable outside of Kansas. I mean, three of the four were extremely winnable. That's just what this team is. You know, they're a pretty middle-of-the-road Power 5 conference team, and you're going to go through those ups and downs. So I just wouldn't break it down and attribute it nearly as much to one thing. Like, hey, in this one game tonight against TCU, Bruce Weber really knew how to press the right buttons. I just tend to believe it's more about what kind of team you have over the long haul and what kind of attitude you have throughout the program, and eventually – if you have done things the right way, things are going to work out.
But it's not necessarily all about the score. I mean, losing a close game doesn't tell the whole story about if the team was in the state of mind that they should have been in the first place. I'm talking more specifically about K-State falling behind 17-5 or something like that. You know, in those games, Bruce Weber did not have the team ready to play. And I've talked about this before, how it's probably 50% players and 50% coaching on how that all works out. But if they're suddenly ready to play tonight, if they lead 17-5 at the under 12 timeout or something like that, why did he find the formula today and not a month ago?
But see, this is where I would come back and say, is that the formula if they jump out 17-5? How much were they up on Oklahoma State in the first half? 14?
Well, we work in absolutes.
14? They took an L. That's what they are.
We work in black and white.
They're streaky. I just saw someone on Twitter earlier today put together a list of the worst halves of the season, and it's kind of remarkable to go back and look at just how poorly this team has played in about seven different halves. You know, it was like first half Tennessee, second half Baylor. Crazy. The numbers are not good. So they're streaky. That's what they are. And to me, again, it comes back to just being a pretty average team. I'm going to go through that in the Power 5 conference. Around college basketball at 525. Coming up next, the only guy who's negative, along with that other dude from The Thing, Kelis Robinette, here on The Game.